Oh, Governor Quinn, Secretary Hannah, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Panem.
Here.
Director Morris. Director Cradell.
Here.
Director Ross.
Here.
Director Saldana. Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiseman. Do you have a form?
Okay. Thank you very much. What we'd like to do is do public comment, and I believe we have one person, Jack Roman, who would like to make a public comment. Is Mr. Roman here? Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
Now it's afternoon, so good afternoon, everyone, members of the board, Madam Chairlady, and all distinguished dignitaries and guests. Basically, I'm the only blue-collar guy here, and one of the things I wanted to compliment the organization on was the magnificence during the blizzard. It was incredible. Those trucks were out there three in a row, keeping the accumulation from getting bad. I work at the O'Hare Post Office. We handle higher value-added shipments, Priority International and International Express. And our facility runs 24/7. And because of the work that so many dedicated employees and leadership factors within this organization had demonstrated, we were able, in many cases, to get to work in spite of the severity of the circumstances. And in addition to that, I wanted to mention earlier there was some comment about the not enough bidders in certain areas, and one of them was a reference to the legislative liaison with the agency. And just as a historical curiosity, for 200 years, Crane & Company was the only firm that produced paper for the U.S. Treasury, and about 20 years ago, there were people that complained that this was not fair and, I guess, pressed for more bidding. But the U.S. Treasury went for 200 years with only one supplier, and I just thought you'd find that interesting. And the other thing I wanted to say was I applaud, as a union member myself, I applaud the Service Employees International for their leadership in recognizing how important it is for unions to play a part in offsetting the cost of health care, because there isn't one facet of our society that isn't struggling with this. And I just think it's so important that they have shown that leadership and sharing in the burden of this really sizable expense. And lastly, I want to make it clear to everybody here that all the people that I talk to, the tollway is considered the high-class expressway. There's people that are able to get fairly sizable distances in very rapid times because of the quality and the maintenance and the remodeling that this road is constantly going through. And there's one thing we all stand in unison, and that is we don't want this agency sold off as a pension asset to foreign banks and other entities, and we want it to stay as it is and not turn into another parking meter fiasco or anything else. Just because the state of Indiana and others have sold their public assets, such as their tollway, we don't want to see it happen here, and there's not one person I know of that has the opposite opinion. So that's my collection of comments for this time. Thank you.
You're welcome anytime. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Roman.
Good point.
We sit here and do what seems like a lot of mechanical stuff around this table, and it's nice to hear from somebody who has the perspective of the consumer and to hear your kind words about our work. Yeah. So we really appreciate it. We'll pass it along to the other employees in the hallway. Thank you. Okay. So I had a very clear statement that we started by 12:15. We could do the transit presentation. So, Rocco, you lucky duck.
As I was telling Mike, I was really hoping he would just ramble on a little bit longer. I mean, no questions for Mike.
You've done an excellent job of providing our financial presentation.
I'm going to say, strike that ramble thing.
Just before Rocco begins, I wanted to mention, this is a presentation that we've talked about before with all of you. I know we've discussed in general and in theory how transit might be implemented on our system, particularly highlighting the Jane Addams, since that's the portion of our system that will probably be undergoing some type of expansion or reconstruction in the nearest term, shall we say, or near term. But Rocco's going to present on several different options today just to give you a more general understanding of transit opportunities. I also wanted to take the opportunity to let you know that through Rocco's leadership and his staff, we've applied for a grant with the Federal Highway Administration to study value pricing and do a value pricing, participate in their value pricing pilot program. there's $10.5 million available nationally. This would be an opportunity for us to kind of take the next step on some of the studies that we've already done on, there was some early study in, I think, 2003 on commercial pricing that ultimately led to implementing commercial pricing strategy on our system. There was some other federal funding made available to study, congestion pricing or managed lanes throughout the region, and that was, I think you may recall, something that the Tollway partnered with MPC on, and they came and presented on the corridors that they identified that had the highest opportunity, or they felt had the highest opportunity for congestion pricing, and the Jane Addams was identified as one of three there. So if we are successful, we would ultimately be able to, I think, continue to the next phase of this work of, if, for instance, there was a congestion pricing strategy, how could that potentially support some type of, transit and what that transit might be on our corridor. So we're excited about that application and keeping our fingers crossed that we actually get to see some dough. So I just wanted to mention that. So Rocco, you want to go ahead with the transit?
Thanks. And I really do think this fits in well because it builds on the earlier discussions today with about the I-90 corridor and some of the things that we have to consider through there. Just to let you know, I'm coordinating with RTA, with Siemens, with IDOT, with Metro, with PACE, and not just in the Chicago region. We're also out there working with the Rockford Metropolitan Agency for Planning to talk about what are some of the long-term needs out there. And we hear a lot about transit. Very brief overview. There's various forms of transit, and I'm going to briefly touch on a few of them that may be the most pertinent and most common and applicable for anything that we would be discussing here at the Tollway. There's heavy rail, which is representative of really Metra, Amtrak, and CTA. Metra and Amtrak run on similar rails. CTA runs on electrified rail. You can see the pictures there. There's a light rail, typically runs on a catenary system. You can see it here running up above. There is no light rail in Illinois right now. It's more common in the West, West Coast and Europe. It's because it's the newer transit areas. There's also a bus rapid transit, which has many different forms. It's a relatively new approach to providing rapid transit, a service that's comparable to a rail service. It's really kind of a high-performance bus transit service, a little bit more faster and reliable than conventional buses. I'll talk a little bit more about each one of these a little bit later. And then there's also bus on shoulders, and what that really is using, it's a low-cost way of using the existing shoulders only during the peak periods. I know these photos make the captain and maintenance, you can see John Bendis out here, make him cringe a little bit because it's just different. This is not an exhaustive list of all types of transit. There's also monorails, maglevs, and other types of transit, but like I said, these are the most pertinent to things that we'd be discussing. So why do we even discuss transit? Why is it important to us? Our goal at this agency is to make sure that we're safely and efficiently moving people, getting from A and B as quick as possible. And for those around during the main part of our congestion relief program, we realize that there are many, many towns located directly adjacent to us. You can kind of see represented in this photo how close some of these homes are this will be the west side of 294, and how close the businesses are on the east side. We really are running out of capacity to add new lanes. Anytime we have to add a lane, you can really see in this corridor how built up it is. That's our wall. These are the backyards, garages. You've got parking right up over here. we've got to think about what are the residential impacts. There's homes, a lot of them are prior to the initial build of the tollway. We've got the businesses. We also have utilities. It's not just what's above ground. It's what's underground that we have to deal with. And any time we have to touch a home, a business, or a utility, we have to consider the right-of-way impacts of that. Where's all that land going to come from? It was kind of discussed earlier. One of the issues that we'd have to deal with on I-90, one of the considerations is how much land is required. And that really impacts our schedule and our ability to deliver projects, the time that we could deliver them. We know that to add new lanes can be costly. From the current CRP, Congestion Relief Program, our range was about $16 million up to $31 million per lane mile. The 31 per lane mile was where we used a continuously reinforced concrete on the south end of the tri-state where we had a lot of trucks. But that was the cost to go from 6 lanes to 8 lanes. After we've done all this work, we're already at the 8 lanes, so the next thing that we need to be thinking about, and Clay and I should be thinking deeper in the future, is going from, do we go from 8 to 10, or what do we do to provide additional capacity? So I'm going to talk a little bit more later about how transit can help provide some of that additional capacity. Congestion mitigation, we've heard recently from our tollway surveys that the number one reason why people drive the tollways is because we are the quickest way to get from point A to point B to get to the destination. We need to always keep this in mind as we move forward. We've also read recently about the Texas Transportation Institute study that the state of Illinois and Chicago got the dubious extinction, distinction of being the, hopefully it's not extinction, distinction of being the worst congestion in the country, tied with Washington, D.C.
They've never been to Boston.
What's that?
They've never been to Boston.
These are in terms of delay. So I mean, these are real numbers that they're pulling from the Texas Transportation Institute. Yeah. Everybody's got their congestion problems, but you know that was our distinction. What I also provide, and it's on your desks, there's a survey that was recently done by, it's not on your desk here, it's at your office. I've learned not to give out handouts. Got to keep the attention where it belongs. But it was a survey that was done by HNTP. It was a national survey that they did, our PMO. It's called the America Think Survey. It's kind of a concise survey about tolling, transit, perceptions that people have out there. There's information there that you know really kind of tells us a little bit more about the people that people are willing to pay to use roads if there is a direct and clear benefit. If you're realizing reduced travel times, if you're seeing improved mobility and really reliability, people want to know I'm going to get on the road now and I'm going to get here by then. So people are willing to pay for these things is really what the survey kind of shows. And you can look through it; it's a real simple read to get some of that. But what I want to explain, you know, we've got existing congestion on our system. What this exhibit is intended to show is where we do have congestion today. This is we produce these reports and planning monthly. This is our travel time index map. There's other congestion measures, level of service is one way of calling it out. We've got what would be considered, and we've talked about level of service before, I think at the Prairie Parkway presentation. A level of service is of C basically means you're driving on the roadway, there's no congestion, everybody's moving along at or above, not really above. Posted speed limits, that would be level of service C. As it goes, the rating is from A to F. We don't have A here. We really start from C and go down. C, D, E, and F, that means it's gradual, worse and worse congestion. F is pretty much a stop condition. We report here, as we look at travel time indexes also. This is our travel time index map. Let's see, so I guess these look like greenish colors. Through here, green is comparable to a level of service C. Our travel time index, green would be when you're traveling at the posted speed limit or just a little bit below the posted speed limit, so 45 miles per hour and above. You can see where we start hitting some of the yellows, the reds, the oranges, the purples through the I-90-294 interchange area. These are from October weekday afternoon peak hour congestion level. So you can see on our system today we already have congested areas. This map is, this exhibit was from October, tail end of our construction, so there might be some construction impacts, but it's pretty much representative. We do know January is a slow month, so I didn't have January up here. August is always the busiest month, so this is pretty much representative of where we are today. You can see a lot of the green. It's great to see the green. That's indications of the work that we've done over the last couple of years that it seems to be working. But what we do also know is that, and we've said this stat before too, after about 10 years, that traffic comes back and you're back to where you were originally. So it's thinking a little bit further into the future.
Rocco, like 94 up in Lake County, that's where you added a lane in each direction.
Yep,
right?
On the gear. Yeah. And that project we talked about earlier?
Took the pressure off. That's where the construction is underway right
mm-hmm.
now.
That's that orange piece. So I didn't catch that until just now, so that's good to see that, you know, that's consistent with where the state's link can go. But you can still see, you know, we've done a lot of work. It's doing what it's supposed to do, but we still have some issues ourselves. So how are we going to start solving these issues? So we look at the future congestion. We look at population, more things that we've read recently. Census came out last week. We saw a lot of the growth. There has been and continues to be a shift in the population out to the suburbs. We recently read that Will, Kane, McHenry, and DuPage County saw the most amount of growth. We also saw big growth numbers in from a percentage anyway, from DeKalb and Boone counties. Aurora, Naperville, Joliet, Rockford, these all have the greatest amount of population outside the Chicago area. This is our service area, so we've got to really start thinking about how do we serve that future population and what is the tollway role going to be moving forward. There's obviously a lack of funding for both our agency and as a state to address these issues, so we need to start thinking a little bit more creative. Also, why transit is important. It's not just about adding the pavement that makes transport adding new lanes difficult. It's what happens after you put the pavement down. Where's all that water going to go? We've got to, as part of this current program, we've had to buy a lot of land up in Lake County for some regional detention sites. We've built the bioswales that were called out earlier today. These are environmental mitigation efforts. So we need to think about what happens not only on the ground impact, but also from an air quality perspective. We don't want to be back in our congested state as we were before. We also heard a consistent theme throughout the strategic advisory team. We heard about congestion management, transit, sustainability, mobility, et cetera. These are things that we need to continue to think about in the future. And, you know, I was putting this together, I really thought about 1950-something when the original board came together. Your predecessors, you know, it was thanks to their vision that they decided we had to buy 300 feet of right-of-way. Because if they didn't buy that 300 feet of right-of-way, I don't know where we would have been, you know, trying to add these new lanes. I don't think anybody at that point in time really thought that we would see a 2,000-plus percent increase in traffic from 66,000 a day to more than 1.4 million a day. So thanks to that vision back then, we were able to get what we were able to do with this congestion relief program. So what we really want to do is try to get the most out of our existing assets. Another something else out of that America Think survey, I thought this was interesting. We found out that more than 50% of Americans, it was actually 56% of people, predict that in 20 years, people in their area, wherever they were represented from, will be using more public transportation than they do today. So that's what people are really thinking, that they're going to, over the next 20 years, people are going to take public transit more. They also felt, 44% felt that they would drive less in the future. So there's a change that's going on out there that we just at least need to be cognizant of it as we move forward. I'm going to give you a few stats about our tollway users. This is the information coming from a 2007 origin destination survey that we do occasionally. Pretty much annually we'll do origin destination surveys, finding something out about our users. The most recent one we did on I-90, these are some of the stats from there. We found out that 85% of the people on our system are single occupancy vehicles, SOVs is what they're called, during the morning peak period. So 85% of the people are driving by themselves in the peak period. That number changes throughout the day with the PM peak period, and then during the midday, there's you see people riding together more often. But our overall vehicle occupancy is about 1.45 people per vehicle. But during that morning trip, that journey to work, it's pretty much 1.1 people per vehicle. So that's a pretty low number. It tells me that people don't want to ride with anybody to go to work, but it's something that we need to think of. Again, you know, okay, why don't they want to ride together? There's a lot of reasons, but what can we do to make it more comfortable? We also know that 15% of the people, this as 2007, were taking discretionary trips during the peak period. These are people going shopping, social trips, recreational trips, whatever it might be. These are people who are making a clear choice to drive during that peak period as opposed to waiting to let off-peak time to drive. Talk a little about rail service. The rail service in this region is really radial in nature. Excellent serving to and from Chicago. This is the Metro map. You can see everything ends right here at Chicago, so it's great getting to and from Chicago. Not such a good job of getting from, you know, throughout the suburbs, throughout this whole area. There's about 80 million people annually who take Metra. There is no light rail in Illinois, like I said before, and there's some operational issues that I'll talk about later that that we need to be concerned with, operational and right-of-way issues when we consider rail. Limit some of our ability to turn around, our incident management. You know, we lose those turnarounds in the middle of the roadway. We don't have full interchanges, so it's would be a little more challenging to maintain something on the other side of the roadway. Bus service, again, putting this presentation together, I found this interesting too. Bus service, buses account for 55% of all transit trips in the region. So it really tells us that people do take bus more than anything else. 38 million of those trips are on the Pace suburban bus system. So Pace carries about half of all the commuter rail service in the region. CTA really accounts for a large number of the buses that we see people riding the bus in this area. There are different types of bus transportation, bus service that can be considered. It's bus on shoulder, like I said. It's really retrofitting something into an existing roadway in the peak periods only. There's bus rapid transit. Again, I'll talk about those later. And then managed lanes. How do we look at managed lanes as part of this? Because that kind of offers an opportunity to use high occupancy vehicles, HOVs, transit, and then combining that with some travel time reliability. So maybe the managed lanes provide us an opportunity to really diversify our investment and adapt to any future changes in the travel market. Again, what we found out from this America Think survey and really common sense studies that people just want to get from A to B as quick and safe as possible, and they're really willing to pay for that benefit. Rail, I'm briefly going to touch on rail because I really want to focus on the types of transit service that we can provide and we can control. I've talked about rail before in a presentation last year about the I-90 corridor. You all know about the Star Line. That's Metra's vision for running rail down Interstate 90. But there's, like I said, two different types of rail. There's the Metra, the heavy rail. This is a light rail system. Rail is it's a high speed service, but it takes dedicated right of way to run a rail system. You can kind of see what I was talking about before. This is basically adding a lane in the roadway. This is an area where there are no stations, and this is an area where the stations, and it just keeps widening more and more and more. These are retaining walls. So there are some costs associated with adding rail. The Star Line cost estimate was about $55 million per mile, so a little bit more than what we would pay to add a lane, quite a bit more than that. Light rail is about $35 million a mile, so it's comparable to what we pay for a continuously reinforced concrete system, but it takes the dedicated right-of-way. You've got to consider the tracks, your rolling stock, which are the cars. But like I said, I want to make sure that we focus really on roadway-based transit solutions because that's something that I think we could have. We might be able to really move on. This is the bus on shoulder. You may have heard about recently, again, there's a lot of things in the news. The RTA and IDOT are collaborating on a project on Interstate 55, which I'm going to show you a video of a little bit later. Quick little video clip. But bus on shoulder is the least expensive way to provide some rapid transit service. Really what you use is the roadway shoulder. This is Minnesota. This is in Canada. You can see the bus is stacked up on the shoulders. Shoulders are used when traffic in the regular lanes drops below 35 miles per hour. They allow the buses to drive through the shoulder just during those peak times, peak days, and the buses cannot travel more than 15 miles per hour faster than the vehicles driving on the roadway. It could work. It's been out there in Minnesota for a while, but it should not be considered anything more than a temporary solution. We'll really learn a lot, I guess, from this IDOT project. The IDOT project is supposed to go be operational and live by the end of this year. It's a two-year demonstration project. We'll learn a lot about that. In the IDOT project, they're going to be using the inside shoulder as opposed to the outside. Outside, you've got to deal with interchanges and how do you go in and out with traffic. So there's some different considerations on what the optimal location of a bus on shoulder would be. Pace is also looking at the 355 corridor on that side. As opportunities to, is that where maybe some kind of bus system, bus on shoulder system should be considered? Shared use lanes and BRT, bus rapid transit. In Florida, the Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority, THEA, They call these bus toll lanes. It's really a hybrid tolling concept and bus concept. We're using the HOV lanes and tolling to provide a dedicated access for transit. I'll be using a THEA exhibit later. BRT is, like I said, it's a relatively new concept in transit. It's comparable to providing rail, but a little bit more cost effective. It's about, and nationally, it bounces the range, but about $13 million per mile to build a bus rapid transit service. There's several different forms of bus rapid transit. It could be a dedicated bus rapid transit, where you've got, this is from Texas, it could be dedicated lanes. This would take you into the parking lot area, an interchange type area, but these are the dedicated lanes for transit, guaranteeing that mobility. There's shared use lanes. This is kind of the concept that they use in Minnesota. I don't really have anything that shows shared use. It's running an HOV, HOT lane with the transit service, but using the pricing to guarantee that mobility. Then there's the bus on shoulder. Again, some people call that bus rapid transit. BRT can run both on expressways and freeways, or it can run on arterials. We could consider, when you're talking about capacity, do we have to build a second level to provide more capacity and enhance mobility deep into the future? Buses, it's a little bit more flexible system. You can run on a dedicated right-of-way, or you can mix in and out of traffic. You could change your service areas over time. It allows you to go from point to point or point to point to off system, wherever it might be, a little bit easier than rail. Again, this, I think it might be the best fit for the tollway because it is a roadway-based solution. We could jointly use the system. Well, again, from some of the surveys, what we've found is that providing accommodations for transit made pricing the most palatable. So if you had some form of pricing, if you had transit, makes it a little bit more palatable to the general public. So something to consider as we move forward.
Sorry, when you say pricing, are you talking about congestion pricing?
Yeah, if you use congestion pricing, people seem to think that don't just price me, give me something in return for paying more. Like I said, going back to that survey, people just, they don't mind paying for it as long as there's a clear direct benefit. So they generally seem to think that if you, where congestion pricing has been implemented, there is typically a complementary transit element, whether behind that system or a parallel system that has been enhanced to provide for any diversionary type of traffic on it. Okay. So what I'm going to show you next is, and I know as soon as I hit this button, it's going to go haywire on me, but this is the I-55 bus on shoulder exhibit from IDOT. It's a video demonstration. You'll see first, it starts out with the bus on shoulder, then it goes to bus on shoulders with stations down the middle. Where it doesn't go, but where you can easily envision this, is the third option, running this dedicated bus or shared use lane with the HOV vehicles or the single occupancy vehicles, the congestion price lane, willing to pay that increased fee. They both run in the same lane, go in and out of station. So this, like I said, is the video that that RTA put together for the I-55 project. It's pretty applicable for what we would want to consider and look at here. So this is the initial phase. You'll see the bus obviously running through traffic. You'll start to see traffic to get gummed up a little bit, starting to slow down. And once that speed of the traffic on the general the main line lanes dips below what they would say about 35 miles per hour, you'll see it starting to get a little thicker. The bus would transition off into the shoulder. Bus uses the shoulder again. You can see it's moving. It slowed itself down. And moves a little bit quicker than the vehicles through these lanes. Now, if there's incidents, snow on the shoulder, there's going to be times when the shoulder just doesn't work. But by and large, you know, we've got decent weather in this area, provides an opportunity. So this is what the future vision is, to do a bus rapid transit service where it actually, it's a dedicated lane, so you could do it as just a bus on shoulder type lane. But this could also be a shared use lane where the single occupancy vehicles come in, you continue going into the station. If there's a shared use lane, the shared lane would run on the outside, bypass this. The bus would go in the middle. So you see that interesting crossover. The reason they do the crossover is because buses all board from the right, so you need to make sure that people get on and off, sipping their coffee.
Kind of like people move around in their hair.
Although that's extra slow. We don't want to think
about right. The goal of any congestion price corridor or congestion price lanes would be to have a minimum of 45 mile per hour operating speed at all times. which I will talk a little bit about that later. So you can kind of see how a bus on shoulder, shared use lane might work going into a station out of, and again, like I said, this could be a combined lane where the single occupancy vehicles, the bus is running on it all at once. What we would do differently, though, is have a full shoulder here, because that's, you know, the ideal goal, full shoulder, dedicated lane, going to a station, you'd be able to, the single occupancy vehicle could bypass the station area, the bus goes into the station, and merges back in with traffic. That is actually being built right now in Minnesota, that type of a system on I-385. As I said before, there's level service C. Level service C, when a lane is running at level service C, it can carry about 1,600 vehicles per lane per hour. So that's kind of the throughput. This exhibit is from the Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority. It's what they developed for their bus toll lanes. You can see that if you're carrying about 1,600 at level service C, 1,600 per vehicle per lane, vehicle occupancy is about 1.2. You're getting about 1,900 people through that lane per hour. So that would be the equivalent to one lane. But if you had a shared use lane, and you had 25 buses, that's what we saw there, operating per hour during just the peak times, it would take up about 1.6% of the roadway capacity. So it doesn't take much of your roadway capacity because buses are bigger and slower. That would increase your vehicle occupancy to about 2.7, and your throughput, your people throughput now, you're getting 1,900 people through the system on level service C, just running there. Jump up to about 4,300 out of people throughput. So that's equivalent to about 2.2 lanes. So the more people you get riding buses, sharing rides, the more people you get through a system. Kind of what our challenge is going to be is provide that capacity really when it's needed. We don't need capacity all the time. We need additional capacity in those peak periods, those 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon. Similar to a shopping mall, they don't build all the parking lots to accommodate Christmas or after Thanksgiving parking. They build what's needed for when it's needed. So we really need to think of how are we going to get the most out of our existing system. We see similar phenomena on the I-90 corridor out west where there's that extremely high peak on Fridays leaving to go to Wisconsin and Sunday's coming home. I mean, we see an extreme peak. So what we really try to do is figure out, okay, how do we address that time when we really need the capacity? Because if you put additional lanes down, there are going to be times when it's far underutilized.
Rocco, in the interest of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
We do appreciate the insight.
Mike would run long. Apparently, it's me. Tolling and transit study. I-95 express lanes in Miami. They converted here. They had an HOV lane out there, free HOV lanes, general pipe lanes. What they did out there, they converted 7.2 miles of the HOV lanes to HOT lanes by basically restriping the roadway, fixing, doing some shoulder work. It started up in December 2008. It was about $132 million capital cost. They got a lot of funding from the U.S. Department of DOT through an urban partnership program, which Chicago region also applied for it, but money went to Miami, Denver, Atlanta, Seattle, many other places. But it was also partly funded by Florida DOT. So how's it working? Operations. It's a variable price on their toll lanes out there that ranges from about 25 cents a mile, 25 cents to up to 3.50 when you're riding in that 7.2-mile stretch. But that toll could go up to as high as 7.10. The average price right now is running about $1.65. They do have a registered a program where you have to be registered HOV3 to ride in the lane, so you actually have to register yourself to use the lane if you're an HOV vehicle or you have to buy a transponder. But what are some of the benefits of this? Actually, what you're seeing through here is that they saw the levels of service improve from an F in all lanes to a level of service C, so going from dead stop to actually moving in the price lanes, and they went from a level of service F to a level of service D, so an improvement of two levels from an F to a D in the unpriced lanes. They saw bus ridership increase by 22%, and there's an overall throughput increase of about 12%, so they're seeing about 1,300 more people going through per hour through the system. It generates about $13 million a year in toll revenue, the congestion price lanes do. They contribute about $4 million of that revenue towards transit service in the area, and that's going to grow to about $7 million after this next phase is going. They're also seeing an increase in transit revenue, so transit itself is becoming more self-reliant because they're seeing increased use there. They use existing park and ride lots, so they didn't build many new facilities, and they're seeing an overall customer satisfaction of about 71% out there. Across the nation, we're seeing that there's a lot of managed lane projects that are out there. There's about 20 of them across the United States. 14 of them provide accommodations for transit, stations parked in dedicated ramps. 10 of those have seen a significant increase in transit usage. Financial subsidies, it bounces all over the place. As you can see through there, 4 of them dedicate a portion of their managed lane revenue to a dedicated transit service. Really what it takes is getting some federal funding. That's what we're realizing. If you get the federal funds, that seems to make the most, or any outside source, dedicated lump sum source of funding, really helps the transit service. We do have experience, as the director said, with pricing here at the tollway. We've got a current congestion vehicle pricing, commercial vehicle pricing on our system that we've had in place, still offering overnight discounts. We've done our congestion pricing study. I-90, the Jane Addams was one of those top corridors. So what we really need to figure out is that right now we don't have any HOV lanes in the region. Is there some opportunity for us to partner with RTA, CMAP, and others to actually do some type of project? Transit financing options, we got the Federal Transit Administration, reauthorization up, so we're going to continue to monitor that, but there are some implications of taking federal funding, put you into a federal review process. Toll revenue will be something to be that have to be considered. We obviously have to keep in mind implications of the Toll Highway Act if there's something with toll revenue. Public or private partnerships, not always private, but there could be public partnerships. There's some counties and across the United States run the transit system, so that's a toll agency or DOT partnering with the county, or other innovative financing mechanisms that we're looking at in tandem with this Elgin O'Hare project. So what are the next steps? Working with RTA and others right now and continue to work with them. This will be a discussion topic for the Earth Day meeting that's coming up in April. We really want to focus on the I-90 corridor. We want to get to a solution on that as well. We'll be establishing an I-90 planning council to start bringing the communities together to get to a resolution. Again, as I said, Toll Highway Act considerations and really deciding what the tollway role is and moving forward on that. So, with that.
Thank you. That's good.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Well, it certainly points out some ideas that are really potential. That can be developed and implemented. I mean, when you look at lane miles and cost per lane miles on some of the things that we've done versus the ability to increase BRT and the like, it only makes sense to really look at it. And the idea of light rail and heavy